You can talk to somebody that's fainting and you'll instantly realize they kind of whine. You ever done that? And the next time you see them, if it's a week or two later, they're still whining. But he said, there's a reason. If I know God and I know his mercy endureth forever for the Lord, he is good. If I know his mercy, his rescue and his deliverance and his freedom, if I know the price of the blood, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Now, what causes us to faint are circumstances, things that come against us. Look at your sheet, your worksheet. I'll show you first how vast fainting is. Ezekiel says, and it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? You get that? Why are you sighing, groaning and moaning? That thou shalt answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt. And fainting is frequently referred to as melting. And all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint. And all knees shall be weak as water. Marvelous verse to explain fainting. Behold, it cometh, and it shall come to pass, says the Lord. They had news. They said, why are you whining like this? Why are you fainting? Why are your knees weak? He said, because of the tidings, because what they had heard, because the word had come to them. That's what happens. The doctor says, you know, there's no help for you. You're going to die. Or we can help you live. I heard one doctor say, and I appreciate this about him. He said he chose that particular field because he could extend people's life and give them more time with their family. As much as I appreciate that, if you're on the other end of receiving that news, we can extend your life for 3 or 4 months. You might be apt to faint. The other thing in sickness and disease is just the time span. If you know if you're not well on Monday and Friday and next month and next year, and if your hip quits hurting but then your knee hurts, you're inclined to faint. Now, there's a reason for fainting. It's because we're concentrating on the dilemma. Our focus is not right. So this says the spirit faints. Now, in the Old Testament, sometimes the spirit means soul. Sometimes the soul means spirit. We're not going to be that specific. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That's part of your answer, is to get our heart and mind back on what God is doing, what God has promised, what his spirit and his word will do in my life. And my prayer came unto thee in the holy temple. And then in Hebrews, the New Testament, consider him that endured such contradiction, which is the word opposition, of sinners against yourself, lest you be wearied and what? Faint in your mind. Therefore shall all hands be faint, every man's heart shall melt. Every man's heart shall melt. That's just to show you that fainting is far beyond a physical dilemma. And when somebody faces you and they're hysterical and they're screaming, hollering, and crying, they've fainted. I don't know if you know that or not, but they've definitely fainted. They've got their eye on the dilemma and on the problem. It's amazing to me. You watch the news, somebody's house burns to the ground. I understand to a degree the trauma of that. And they're just beside themselves. The next person, house burns the ground, they said, oh, it's just a house. I talked to the lady, it's what she told me. It's just a house. What is the difference? One fainted and one didn't. It's focus. One's focused on loss, the other's focused on recovery. You see that? Well, if we know the mercy of God and we concentrate on the mercy of God, we're not going to faint. Now, on the back side of your sheet, keep an eternal focus. You can't focus on the dilemma, on the trauma, and recover. 2 Corinthians 4:18, that's King James. We look not at things which are seen. That's what causes fainting. Constantly looking at what's happening, what's going wrong, how things aren't working for me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms, big, fat, juicy ones, little, bitty, skinny ones. You know that song? Guess I'll go eat. Well, you should know that. That's a classic. Look not at things that seem, but things which are not seen. I have an eternal perspective. I'm looking at what God is doing. I'm looking at how he's going to rescue and deliver. I'm looking at the vast of his promises. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Now, this is a contemporary English, which is excellent. Things that are seen don't last forever. If I have that perspective, that this is temporary, that God's going to rescue, he's going to set me free. Things that are not seen are eternal. That's why we keep our mind. You got that? If I'm keeping and guarding my mind on things that cannot be seen. In other words, I've got an eternal perspective. I'm thinking about the Word. I'm thinking about the Spirit. I'm thinking about what God is going to do in my life. If I feel like I've missed it, I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to move on. Because once you repent, that sin is blotted out. We're not camping there. We came there of necessity. We're not staying there.